actions in our community. I personally, you know, there's been a lot of miscommunication, lack of communication, not understanding things that, you know, old mandates, new mandates, local mandates, state mandates. But what we can do locally is talk and take action. So I personally would like to see and advocate for additional testing within the community. And even, you know, the state right now is talking about just requiring testing of secret processing workers during quarantine. But, you know, shouldn't there also be testing throughout the season periodically? And I don't know, I'm not a medical professional. I don't know what the right time frame is and things like that. But, you know, if we were to promote and support something like that and try to advocate for it, there's, you know, likely going to be locals working at the sea level plant, and they're going to be coming back and forth into the community, even though the out-of-state workers at the sea level plant will be sort of required to just go from their living space back and forth to work. But they'll be mixing because the local folks will be going home. So there's a dynamic there that is important to recognize. And there might be a better way to address it, but it seems like some kind of periodic testing, even once the season gets started, would be one way. So anyway, those are some thoughts. Thank you.
And Assemblymember Decker, I completely agree with you. The part of the issue for me is that I would have loved to have made that recommendation during the process where we were putting this stuff together, but we were not invited to make recommendations regarding testing, just weren't. And this has been a complaint from mayors across, and that's why I think if the plans are being presented, we should have some local control. And so, you know, if we had that local control, we could say right now, this community could say, we are mandating that anybody who's walking into the plant has to be tested once a week and temperatures taken or whatever it is. I mean, I think there's some of those measures in place there, but we can't. It's just the way it is. And we also can't remove restrictions either. We can't do either that would make sense for us. But regardless, we'll move on from there. Does anybody else have a comment on the question? The original question was, what is your level of comfort with opening up the question that Lynn delivered to folks in the one meeting? I'll go with Assemblymember Gilbert and then Assemblymember Larrabee.
I think our level of comfort has to be left up to the medical professionals. And we need to rely on them to let us know now's the time to take some measures immediately. So that's why I want some measures in place. Also, we keep talking about the maximum critical mass of being 16 patients in the hospital. Well, that's if we relocate our long-term residents. So part of the plan that I would like the city to come up with is that relocation. And the reason I'm stating this is because if federal monies do come down from the state to the municipalities for the COVID preparedness, those monies, those finances incurred by the hospital could be reimbursed through the city. So let's have a plan of action. Let's pray we never have to use it, but let's be prepared because it's not only for the health of the community, but it's for the social, the economic health of the community as well. That the sooner we can get back to normal, the better it is for everyone.
Absolutely. Assemblymember Larrabee, I think that City Manager Von Bargen wants to respond directly to something that Assemblymember Gilbert said. Would you mind if she jumps in front of you? Please, Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Assemblymember Gilbert, we actually are working on that. We have been in conversations with the hospital CEO about making sure that we are securing an alternate site for long-term care residents so that they can be relocated if a surge is necessary. And so we're dealing with the hospital on that and trying to make sure that there's something in place.
Yeah, we've had discussions even today about it, and we're working with very closely. It's an important part of that search plan. But I also point out, folks, hospital beds need staff. Hospital beds need PPE. And I really appreciate it. Assemblymember Decker sent around a thing about locally in-state manufactured things. Well, I put in an order for 200 masks through that website. I haven't even seen, 3 weeks ago, I haven't even seen an email. Search contacted them about ventilators, nothing. So there's a lot of window dressing going on that makes people feel like, hey, we're really on top of this, but it's not happening. We right now, I think, what did I say, Lisa, that if we had 5 people with COVID in our hospital, what did we say for, we have 5 days of PPE.
With 16, Mr. Mayor, it's 1.7 days of PPE. And yeah, so that means anybody else that comes through the hospital doors that has any kind of, even an emergency, you know, I need stitches or I broke an arm or I hit my head, no PPE for that.
So that doesn't mean that there isn't PPE in the warehouse. And I want to be really clear about that. There is PPE in the search network other places. But if it's a regional wide crisis, if it's not just, it's not just going to be a Wrangell issue, it will probably be region wide. And then we're really in trouble because we don't have the levels of PPE. And there keeps coming promises of PPE from the state and it never materializes. So that's an issue for us and it's something we have to deal with. The beds are one thing, isolation rooms are another, and ventilators are another. We in essence have one ventilator that can sustain a person for a period of time. So I don't think it's bad for us to have a political ripcord or some discussions about that in advance. I just don't. Assemblymember Larrabee, I wanted to give you a chance to ask your question or make a statement.
Only briefly, I would just like to reiterate the idea that I agree that putting hard numbers on things and really firm reactions is nearly impossible to anticipate. But I think stating that at one case even, we're going to have a serious conversation about how to proceed. And we're going to be using our best judgment and the resources available, namely our medical center and medical providers to help to influence those decisions. But I think stating that at something as simple as one case, one positive case, there will be a reaction and then reevaluating how we'll proceed forward.
So the question that I'd have on the one case is this, is that one case with symptoms? Is that one asymptomatic case? Is that one case that's community acquired? Or is that one case of a person who traveled from another region? Is that one case in a person over 80 or a person that's 20? The one case scenario.
I would say that would be one positive case that we will revisit our next steps to reevaluate, considering what the situation is, how we will proceed forward. Have, you know, and when that one case occurs, of course, CDC will be checking with them to see who they've interacted with. Have they been on quarantine? What is the situation? And then at that point, then we make a decision how to move forward based on the circumstance of that situation. But each step along the way propagates a new set of reaction, a new situation that we can control at that time. But I think just stating that one case, we revisit the conversation.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, Ann.
You guys said what you said, that's what I was gonna say. It's gonna very much depend on the circumstances of what that one case is. Everything from age to where it came from. So yeah, we get our first case, then we definitely are gonna have to revisit and based on those circumstances, then we have to react.
But I hope the assembly understands we're going to have cases. We're going to have a first case. We're going to have a second case. we're gonna have cases, I probably push harder than anyone about, you know, being prepared and my worries and my phobias about things, but I'm prepared for that, those first cases. That's going to happen for sure. But maybe what it is it's an ongoing conversation, Drew, like you say. Maybe that's the best. Sorry, Patty, go ahead.
What was I going to say? Well, I can't say what I want to say. I will take it seriously when the medical professional goes, holy, you know what? We've got a problem. But the community does not want to see that we are winging it. They really would like to see some sort of concrete plan in the hopper. And when we actuate that plan, I still believe is left up to our medical professionals.
Mr. Mayor, if I could maybe try an initial response to Assemblymember Gilbert.
Yes, please.
I think there is a lot of validity in publicly saying we're planning for a potential scenario in Wrangell by having the isolation site there. So we know that if somebody tests positive, there's a place for them to go and isolate, whether it's a commercial fisherman or whether it's a construction worker or whether it's somebody local that doesn't have the ability to, you know, distance within the home from their family. We've got a place for them to go and work through, and we've got all of the resources that person needs to be able to deal with deal with having COVID-19, from medical care to mental health to, you know, sheets for a bed and, you know, all of those things. And second, our hospital has a surge plan, and that surge plan includes X. And what we've done to make sure that surge plan is working is we've secured this site to move long-term care residents to make sure that they're safe and make sure that we have space in the hospital to accommodate a growing number of cases. And I think it's also important to say that the initial plan is that we do not have to take care of people on island. As they get sick, the initial plan, as long as we're not having a region-wide crisis, is that people will be relocated out of town to Mount Edgecombe or down to Swedish in, you know, wherever it may need to be, depending upon what's going on. So there is a plan for dealing with that. And I don't know how to, I'm at a bit of a loss for maintaining that sense of urgency around the appropriate personal responsibility actions of people to help keep us as safe as possible so that we can avoid that to the maximum degree possible. And the mayor and Captain Spray can attest, and Kim can attest to my comments at the end of our EOC meeting this morning where I took license and let myself freak out a little bit about, you know, the continued concerns that are raised about people. So, you know, not social distancing, gathering, talking about how it's a bunch of bunk, not being willing to wear masks. Well, you know what that does for me? For the foreseeable future, forever, I don't know how long this is going to be. I'm going to continue between my home and work. I'm going to wear a mask. I'm going to have a line on the floor that's 6 feet from my desk. No one's getting into my office. I'm not going to have personal interactions with people. I'm not going to see, you know, my mom at her home in Valdez. And so I don't mean to make this about me. I'm just saying there are a lot of other people that feel like me and who feel, maybe you and many of the people that you're hearing from, who feel like if other people don't feel like it's necessary to be personally responsible as well, then we don't get to continue to live our lives.
We want to do this, dear.
Right. And so I don't know how to create that sense of urgency. We can say what all the plans are, but it really boils down to our community being willing to each individual person toe the line and how how we encourage, how we empower,
the three big panels.
Help people do that. We're still trying to work through that.
Yeah, well put, Lisa. I'm going to try and just bring it around here back to Assembly
Member. I'm sorry, I squirreled out.
You're fine. You're fine. I want to kind of bring it back to, well, I think that's real. You know, what Lisa just said, that's real for a lot of people in our community. And I'll come back. These are people that are not screaming on social media or writing letters in the paper or screaming at meetings because quite frankly, they'll get bullied if they say anything. So there's a lot of people in this community that have contacted me, and I know other assembly members as well that are very concerned. And so I think Lisa's putting a bit of voice to that, and I appreciate that. But I want to bring this back around to the question that was originally posed, is at what point do we have ready-made things, and do we when do we sort of start to raise the alarm? And I think I heard a couple of things that I thought were interesting. One is, you know, in Assemblymember Larrabee's comment that at one case we should have a discussion, I think is actually probably fair, because the first case is going to be a gut punch. And it may be something, it may be nothing, it may be, but that may be a good time for us to have a secondary discussion. The concept of having ready-made things in the hopper, ready to go to vote on and pass, I don't know if that's a reality, because the situation is going to probably dictate what that thing looks like, I'm guessing. But I see Julie's hands up. Julie, please go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead and finish. You're
just coming when
you're done.
Okay, sure. I just think that it would be tough to have ready-made policy. I think that's going to be something that needs to be hammered out under the circumstances. But I really agree with you that our hospital, our medical people need to have a big say in that. They need to wave the white flag and say, hey, this is too much, because we may never get there. I mean, that may be the reality. We may never get there. And I've talked about capacity all the way along. It's one thing when Dr. Jarvis and I spoke, she admitted fully to me, I can do nothing about your capacity. She tried. She thought she might be able to do some more tests, but it didn't quite pan out. But that's the one thing nobody can do anything about. We can have quarantine areas. We can have hand sanitizing all over town. But our ability to handle issues in the hospital, we can't do much about. We can put in a few more beds and try to get some more PPE, but really our capacity is we're stuck with the footprint of the building. So that to me is the final sort of Achilles, is that if the hospital is getting overwhelmed and they raise the alarm, then I believe, and if the state, don't get me wrong, if the state's doing something, great, we'll let the state roll on. But if we are feeling like we're being missed in the picture, then we come together and we talk about options. And as a body, there was a rumor going around that Lisa and I could shut down the town if we wanted to. No, we can't. This is a body thing. We would come together and have a discussion, and we would live with what the body, the assembly, says. That's the way this works. It's a democracy still, I guess. So, which is a good thing. Julie, do you want to take it there?
Yeah, thank you. So those are a lot of good things that I agree with. I'm taking little notes of things that other folks have talked about where that, you know, can be actions that we move forward with in making plans now without waiting, which I think is what Assemblymember Gilbert is talking about, right? So let's not wait for X, Y, and Z, but let's move forward with the securing plans for moving long-term care. Let's move forward with the isolation facility. Let's move forward with advocating on behalf of our community for additional PPE and testing. I think another big component, and this goes a little bit with what Lisa mentioned in her, you know, observations, and I think we all are seeing this around us, that folks are getting a little bit probably tired of, you know, following the restrictions. And then they're getting lax because there aren't any cases in Wrangell. And so I actually, what I observe is people are not perceiving a threat. And so they are lowering their own their own activities to comply with mandates and recommended things. And, you know, I don't want to be like, you know, I'm not the police officer, but I see it. I see it in like kids and parents letting their kids have a play date with another family's kids because their kids have been cooped up and not able to play with their friends for so long. And they're like, well, you know, yeah, we're reopening. Okay, so, you know, and those are the kinds of things that those are really difficult little things that are happening all over the community. And these aren't people yelling or raising hell or anything. They're just people in their own lives are sort of making decisions on a daily basis, lots of them every day. And so we almost might have to have a case or two to get people to sort of reengage more strictly in some of these mandates and recommendations and stuff. So there's that side of the sort of people equation when we move forward with this, I don't know how to, you know, after whatever it's been 50 days, you know, under sort of shelter in place, it's tough on people. And they're so, and I get it, like there's multiple levels of folks in the community and some still are very fearful and it's tough on them as well. So I'm trying to say, anyway, four things. And the fifth in my mind of actions that we can take are, the fifth one is improving the understanding of the actual mandates and getting more consistency. There's a bunch of stuff, just like at the state level, where they started out with certain mandates and certain documents, and now they're trying to go back and clean stuff up and remove stuff and make stuff more consistent. We have that around our community too. Getting things consistent and clear and just continuing to educate, which I think the Reopen Wrangell Task Force is actually doing a really good job about that. They're sort of using the platform of the businesses to get information out to folks. But anyway, that's more thoughts.
Great. Just I'll mention quickly, Julie, the just on things the hospital is working on, securing an alternate site. We are pushing forward with getting the Trident bunkhouse set up. We're waiting for a contract, but we're also looking at who the manager will be. The PPE, I talked with Letha this morning. She, after we ran the numbers with her for our letter, she's making a request for more to try to get some more. So people are paying attention to these things, and we are definitely in what I would call an operational state. We are looking at, we're getting prepared to deal with it. It's not just talk, it's not just politics. And Lisa's EOC is fantastic. They've been doing a great job and staying on top of things. So I don't want to leave an impression that none of this is happening. It is on multiple fronts, but we do also have to prepare for some other things too. Assemblymember Gilbert, go ahead.
Yes, can we at least agree to task our borough manager?
I think you're on mute.
I could hear her, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Okay. Can we agree as an assembly to task our borough manager to research the legal ramifications of issuing a mandate versus an advisory or some other less restrictive type of document? And the other thing that I wanted to have everything lined up, and this is maybe my faulty thinking, is that with the CARES Act, if we want to get reimbursed for all these outlay of money, that it may be easier if it's in a written document from the city. So that's my other thought.
City manager, would you like to take that, Lisa?
Sure, I can respond to the advisory versus mandate. We can issue advisories all day long. That there's no no legal issue right there. We don't have a problem. We can say we're encouraging this. We're asking the community to do that. I would point to the example that the Haines EOC did, where they actually, I don't know how many of you have seen, they masked one of their killer whale totems. They got permission from the tribe to mask it. And then they sent out something to the community saying, look, we're not going to tell you you have to do this, but come on, folks, let's keep everybody safe. Do your part. We've got lots of elderly people in the community. They deserve to be able to be safe and be out in the community. So wear your mask. Don't be a jerk sort of a thing. Put a mask on is essentially what they said.
The killer whale was great. Assemblymember Gilbert, to your question, my understanding, and we have had conversations with our attorney, and our attorney has said that if, and Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, if things are rough and we need to do something, we absolutely can just do it. And there's, he said, you just bull forward and you don't, there's no reason why you would not do it. And if the state wants to come back and slap your wrist or whatever, that's so be it. Am I correct on that, Lisa? Is that not what Joe said?
That is correct. If things are truly going off the rails here in Wrangell, no one is going to, the likelihood that there is going to be pushback on us doing something local in order to arrest whatever that situation is highly unlikely. And he has indicated he's perfectly comfortable with us moving forward with a local mandate if we truly are under a crisis situation.
Assemblymember Powell.
I'm a pretty advocate of, just doing what we want to do and basically I don't care what the state thinks, but we can beat this all night long. And, I love our little town, but it's a very independent town. And until we have something happen, nothing's going to happen. We can talk about this all you want. And I've lived here all my life and I've gone through a lot of stuff here. And until something happens, until we have a crisis or until we have one or 10 cases, nobody's going to take this serious anymore. And I feel the reasoning why is because there's too many conflicting, one person saying this, one person saying that. And everybody's listening to social media and the news. And I'm sorry, but with him opening up the bars and businesses, which I really appreciate us getting to be able to open back up and take off our next couple of weeks of travel stuff, everybody's not taking this serious anymore. And we can beat this all night long. And until it happens, we're going to be stuck where we're at.
Okay. Dave, yep. Go ahead, Ann.
I have to agree with Dave. Until it hits, we're not going to know what we're up and plan. And it's a wonderful thing to have plans in place for what could happen. But until it does happen, we don't know the criteria around what's happening. So our plan could be totally moot and useless.
Correct.
But it still has to be. It more of a coordination of plans between the hospital, the city, the EMTs, the whole thing that will work together. But, just to put it out there in black and white, I don't think we can do that very successfully. Yes, I mean, we need to work together and it needs to be coordinated, but we don't know what the circumstances are going to be.
Thank you, Ann. David?
I like what Patty said, but I have a problem with having our city manager do more. No matter what, I mean, she's got a lot going on. I know that. And this town needs to run, and she needs to run it. And I feel that if we keep asking her to research this and research that, then we might as well get her two or three more assistants because it ain't going to happen. Without her running the city, I'm sorry. We need to stop asking her to do all this research and let her do her job.
I would second.
Lisa?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I actually wasn't prepared to respond to that, although I can.
Sorry, your hand was up. I was just going in order here.
Right. I actually can't remember what I was going to respond to at the moment.
Okay.
But
I second, or do you want us to?
I can respond to Assemblymember Powell if you would like.
Absolutely.
So Assemblymember Powell, you are accurate in that an enormous amount of my time is being spent doing COVID stuff. It is I'm tracking meticulously, and it's between 4 and 5.5 hours a day of time that gets spent on COVID related things. I am making a hugely concerted effort to make sure that city business is also getting done, and am scheduling in meetings and addressing that stuff every day to the maximum degree possible. And I have taken both your and the mayor's comments to heart, and am doing absolutely everything I can to delegate anything that can be delegated out to another staff member to handle things. Even taking as absolutely proactive approach as I can, it is still easily about half of my time every day spent on COVID stuff. I don't necessarily have an answer to you. I just wanted to provide you with some information based on the concern that you raised.
Ann?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, your hand is up, bud.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, Ann. <Yeah. laughs> Any other comments? Assemblymember Gilbert, I'm not sure that we have gotten to the place you thought we might. Do you want to comment on this or thought?
Well, I don't, at least we got the coordination established, and at least we probably agreed that any action would be up to a medical professional. I think we agreed about that. It sounds like the mandate order was legally viable, so that's already been determined. And I guess that the CARES Act would reimburse the hospital for expenses incurred if they have to transfer long-term care, whether we have a city mandate to that effect or not. So, I guess we're okay. We'll wait till the first case and then get together and discuss it. Come up with a plan or not.
Yeah, I think that was a great summary of it. Lisa, you have your hand up?
Yes, Assemblymember Gilbert reminded me of what I wanted to comment on earlier, which is coordination. And Assemblymember Gilbert, I would just say that we meet as what I'm calling a unified command every Wednesday morning. The hospital, the city and borough of Wrangell, our EMS, Captain Spray, and our first responders, and actually public health joins us from Petersburg as well. So we meet as a unified command once a week. And if things were to start ramping up, going in a bad direction or in a less, you know, a less stable direction with regard to a COVID outbreak in the community, that would be ramped up. So I can wholeheartedly say that coordination is in place right now. And we are talking, even though we just meet formally once a week, there are offline conversations throughout that disseminate from that or are offshoots of that. So we are working as a cohesive group, and I have no doubt that if there were concerns from the hospital coming from our medical professionals or from our first responders, that would be brought up and addressed immediately.
Assemblymember Gilbert, Lynn also sits in on those meetings and represents medical staff. So we get a fairly good update each week on that standpoint too. So I have to concur with Lisa that it is, I think that's our canary in the mine, is those meetings. Assemblymember Decker.
Thank you. I just wanted to, I'm not sure that it's the right impression to leave the public with that, you know, we don't have a plan or we're not taking action. I feel like, I'm not sure why Assemblymember Gilbert feels that way, but, or I don't know if it's, I'm not hearing maybe it expressed exactly. Okay, she's saying no, she doesn't feel that way. Okay, well, so I want to like firmly express to the community that we have a plan. We have folks, the EOC team, the weekly meetings, we have these sort of backup things for if there is a crisis situation or isolation units of moving long-term care to increase bed capacity. Those are all things actively being implemented. So I think the town is doing a good job, and you know, we do need the community to continue to sort of toe the line on the types of social distancing and practices that will help alleviate the need for all those things. I want to make that clear to the community.
Thank you, Assemblymember Decker. Anybody else with any other comments? I don't see City Manager Von Bargen. I don't think there's really any sort of direction coming out of this, aside from us to be aware, as Assemblymember Gilbert highlighted. And I think that from what I understand, you've had discussions with the attorney about what is appropriate, what is not. So that information is already available to you. And I think in closing, Assemblymember Decker's comment, there is people that are working on this many hours a day and are watching out and are looking down the road and are counting masks and gloves and to make sure we know exactly what we have on hand. And so I really think Julie's comment is, it needs to be reiterated that this, we right now we feel like we have a good sense of control in terms of our response, and we are in operational mode right now. We've moved sort of out. We realize that there's not a lot of sort of politically we can do. We're really are working operationally to make sure that everything's up and running. And Lisa has done an amazing job working with the operationals team. I cannot say enough about how hard she's worked to make sure the community remains safe. It really does come up to the community, and if we do a good job and hopefully we can keep it at bay, and our fishermen and our tourist operators and everybody, as we are opening up more and more, live to the mandates. They're set there to keep us safe. I think that's all we can do. That's all we can do. But we can't really do much more than that. So thank you, City Manager Von Bargen, for the update tonight. You want to go ahead? Sorry, go ahead,
Lisa. Mr. Mayor, if I could, I would be remiss in saying I appreciate the credit that's been given, and you alluded to this, but really there are a vast number of people that deserve a whole host of credit here. And that includes the clerk, that includes Captain Spray, that includes Kate and Julie, Jamie and the Carol and I'm not going to list everybody. There's so many members of the staff that are working on this behind the scenes, and although I mentioned our unified command only meets once a week, our EOC for this city that includes this group, our fire chief and our police chief and Kate and Carol and Greg and Dorianne and myself and the mayor meet every morning to make sure that we are on top of what the situation is, and that we're the individual meetings that all of us are attending outside, whether it's tourism industry or whether it's fishing industry or whether it's managers related or whatever it might, EOC related, that we're getting all of that stuff back to the group and we're assimilating what that means for the community. And so that there's a whole group that are behind the success of us keeping Randall safe. So I just needed to point out that it's everybody coming together to do this.
Perfect. Thank you, Lisa. So one thing that I did hear from several members of the assembly is that when we have a first case, we're going to want to get back together and just check in and sort of do a collective look at things and see where we're at. And I think that's very reasonable. So we will make sure that that happens. Is there anything else for the good of the order from anyone?
Mr. Mayor, I'll just leave one final comment. So as I mentioned, on the agenda for tomorrow is us rescinding the emergency order that was passed in March because it is out of date and needs to be revisited. But part of that rescission also includes community guidance moving forward. And there are a handful of items that were discussed tonight that I can very easily that sum up what our important measures are for this community. So I think there are some takeaways from here. Even though I don't have to do anything related to any of these, I can certainly incorporate those into a guidance document.
Perfect. And would you just let the community know again the time of the meeting in case it will be on KHTK?
Right. Well, so we'll have another update at 5:30, another COVID work session update at 5:30 on Monday. And then we will be having a regular assembly meeting on Tuesday, beginning at 6:00. And that'll have a number of items on the agenda, including some COVID related stuff.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate everybody taking time out of their evening to come together and have this discussion. And we are going to adjourn at 6:56 p.m.